This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
A quick note before the show, this podcast contains explicit language.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday from NPR Music. I'm Robin Hilton. And let's just hit this from Olivia Rodrigo's new album, Guts, that's out now. This is a song called Get Him Back.
I met a guy in the summer and I left him in the spring. He argued with me about everything. He had an ego and a temper and a wandering eye. He said he's 6'2" and I'm like, dude, nice try. But he was so much fun and he had such weird friends. And he would take us out to parties and the night would never end. Another song, another club, another bar, another dance. And when he said something wrong, he'd just fly me to France. So I miss him some nights when I'm feeling depressed. Till I remember every time he made a pass on my friend. Do I love him? Do I hate him? I guess it's up and down. If I had to choose, I would say it right now.
Olivia Rodrigo kicking off this week's New Music Friday. I'm here with WBEZ and Vocalo Radio's Ayana Contreras.
Hello.
Critic and reporter Serena Turos.
Hey, Robin.
And from Radio Milwaukee, Tariq Moody.
What's up, Robin?
Well, we got a whole bunch of stuff that we want to highlight and talk about from the vast list of albums out now on September 8th. But this new one from Olivia Rodrigo, it totally rips. And Serena, I know this is one that you were excited about this week.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if she even needs an introduction at this point. It's like, were you, I don't know, asleep for all of 2021? And she single-handedly, at 17, brought back rip and pop music. But she is this Disney Channel actor turned pop rock sensation. And I think the thing that really struck me about Guts is that she's leaning pretty hard into the rock. And she's grappling a whole lot with what the external pressures of fame and external perceptions as she's ascended have done to her self-image and her attempts to stay normal under it all. I think Guts is a great title for this album because it is about, it's this expression of spilling your guts. I hate your guts, the way that, you know, a lot of these songs are about guys that she is having a will they won't they with, or, you know, it's about showing yourself and also having courage. And I think that she does this really well. And I think one of her signature things is about these studies of contrasts, like the way she does on All American Bitch. Yeah, you know. You know, the verses are very sweet and finger-picked and delicate, and then she just goes full, like, fuzzy garage rock on the chorus.
You know, the only thing that struck me about it is it didn't really feel like any particular era, in the sense that it's kind of like every generation of young coming of age, maybe femme-identifying, maybe not, folks need albums like this. So, like, Avril Lavigne had a moment where she was the one that people were belting out in their Honda Accords at night. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like this fills that role really, really well. And it'll be interesting to see. I'm curious 10, 20 years from now, what sort of nostalgia this will bring up when you hear it in the grocery stores or when you hear it like at like a hole in the wall bar. Because I feel like that's kind of the pocket. And it's an important pocket, really, for the culture.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is definitely a Gen Z soundtrack. You know, it's very rocky. There is a nice little pop shine on top of the rock throughout this record. But one of the songs I do, what reminds me of like the 90s vibe is the Ballad of a Homeschool Girl. Everything I do is tragic. Every guy I like is gay. The morning after I panic. Oh God, what did I say? I wrote glass, I drifted down. I told secrets I shouldn't tell. I stumbled on words. I made it weird. I made it worse. A couldn't stop thinking about Veruca Salt, but then her little rap-like flow throughout this album is really fun. Kind of like it kind of has that old school Beastie Boys flow, if you remember that, or back in the day. It's fun.
Yeah, there's not a second on this album where I thought it didn't have its claws in you. You know, and sometimes it's because it just rocks so hard, like on Get 'Em Back or on the song Bad Idea, right? But sometimes the claws sink in very slowly in these quieter moments, like on the song The Grudge.
And I try to be tough, but I want to scream. How could anybody do the things you did so easily? And I say I don't care, I say that I'm fine. But you know I can't let it go. I've tried for so long. But I don't feel strong.
Which is just so beautiful and affecting and sad, because she's, you know, really opening up about someone who really hurt her, you mm-hmm. know, which, you know, and again, I keep thinking of the I don't know if it's, you'd call them double entendres or what, but it's just like the play on words with Guts. Get him back. Does she mean get back at him, like revenge, or does she mean get him back like she wants him back in her life? Or The Grudge, it's like when you think of holding a grudge, you think of anger and outrage, but instead in her case, a grudge is manifested as deep sorrow and pain that she's holding on to, which is ultimately what a grudge is, right? Drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die.
Amen, Robin.
All right, again, that's Olivia Rodrigo. Her incredible new album is called Guts. There's also a new album out now that we're loving from the singer and composer Jalen Nganda. It's called Come Around and Love Me. From that record, this is the title cut.
I have to say this, because if I don't, I will kick myself. But in his bio, he says that his inspiration came from listening to his father's collection of Motown CDs, which I feel like is very, I don't know why I think that that's funny, but I think it's just, he's a younger cat.
You thought it was funny that he was exploring a CD collection as opposed to vinyl, or what was?
Yeah, because it's kind of an update of, it kind of like squarely puts him in an era, because, right. You know, traditionally, oh, I was listening to my dad's records, right? Like, it's like, I was listening to my dad's CDs. I don't know why I think that's just very funny. I don't know.
I mean, it's hard to imagine anyone discovering my streams.
Because the original,
my stream collection.
That's true too. But I mean, he keeps the window fairly narrow. I think, you know, thinking about, It's the whole thing is very cliche, in the sense that I was pawing through my dad's record collection is right. Like the cliche, and grew up in the church playing the organ, like all of the things that are generally the bona fides when a soul artist is discovered as being the authentic thing, you know, either that or they're playing at this well-hewn club on right. The fill in the blank side of City X. So. But his voice is the thing that differentiates this from a lot of other sort of, I'm going to be honest with you, soul cosplay records. I think his voice is exceptional.
Mama say you played me well with your presence. I wait for you call and consider all your dreams.
I have to agree with you, Ayanna. The music's very familiar. What stands out for me, it is his voice. Well, he's taken elements, as you say, from like the late 60s to early 70s soul tapestry. Like the track It Takes a Fool, which kind of sounds like it belongs on a Blaxploitation soundtrack. love to hear him do other genres with that voice. You know, we're going to be talking about James Blake. I'd be kind of cool if James Blake and Jane Lungana does a track together. It could be very interesting.
I think what I grapple with as a person, I have 10,000 records, most of which are vintage soul from the 60s and 70s. I think ultimately what I grapple with is sort of like, how does this music push the soul genre forward? But you also think right now, we're in the year of our Lord 2023, we're at a juncture where that traditional, the stalwarts of the original music, you know, like the Stylistics and all these other people, we know we're not, we're probably not going to have another 20 years with those original groups, right? And so if you want that genre to live on, I think that it is important to have traditional soul artists that exist. He's really doing what I think that music can be, which is a gateway from the younger to the older and from the older to the younger, which keeps that music alive.
This conversation reminds me a lot about the discussion when Greta Van Fleet came out a couple years ago. And that makes this sound like a terrible comparison, but hang on there. But I think one of the positive spins on that band was that, okay, well, you're never going to hear Led Zeppelin live again. So if you want that sort of feeling of like, if you're in your 20s and you're never going to live through the 60s, 70s and be able to go to a rock concert like that, like this band will help you connect with that sort of music live in a way that you can feel that you won't be able to replicate just listening to the record.
I do think so much of that, though, is exactly what Ayana said, cosplay or, you know, pretend music, dress up music. But when I listened to it, I guess it felt very real to me. You know, it didn't feel to me like he was just going through and checking all the boxes to imitate this sound.
I think what's interesting also about this album is, as opposed to some of these other projects that are really heavily referencing older material, is that it does feel like it's of a piece in the sense that it all feels like it was recorded between, and this is very specific, 1967 and late 1968. That's what it sounds like, Motown-ish. So, like, I do appreciate that because sometimes what is a little off-putting is that they sound like they're from nowhere and no time in particular, just sort of a hodgepodge of soul cliches.
Jalen Nganda, the singer and composer, his debut album out now is called Come Around and Love Me. Let's go next to the singer Anjimily, an artist we've been following and loving for a minute now. He's now on the 4AD label and has just dropped his first album since signing with them. It's called The King. This is the song Mother.
Oh, my mother.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Anjimily's 2020 album, Give or Taker, which I think we played on All Songs when it came out. And even then, Anjimily was really exploring texture and sound. And he caught my ear because of the way that he played with expectations. And on his second album here, he is really just leveling that up on a massive scale. The two main instruments on this album are his own voice and then an acoustic guitar that is prepared. So like in the way that you think of prepared piano, like John Cage. And when John Cage was doing this, it was kind of a rejection of tradition and a rejection of the limits of the Western chromatic scale. And here, Anjimily is doing something very similar where It's almost like the idea that the acoustic guitar is too small to contain his heartbreak and the rendering of his experience in the last 2 years. A lot of this album, The King, is about what he calls the Black Death, which is both the mismanagement of the COVID pandemic and then also the fallout of the murder of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement and the way that that has kind of stalled now in 2023. You know, it's almost biblical in its themes.
I wouldn't call it almost biblical. I would say there was definitely biblical references, a lot of them. But the team sent along a document that's themes and influences, which reads a little bit more like a syllabus of the Big Bang, black holes, Armageddon, grief, acceptance of suffering, but then a list of films, primarily sci-fi horror films like Eraserhead, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but then The Wizard of Oz also. Documentaries like What Happened, Miss Simone, all were things that were sort of in the cooker as the sound and the production of the record was being sort of organized. And then music influences, you know, Pharoah Sanders, Moondog, Portishead, Miles Davis, Philip Glass. I think it's quite interesting because I don't know that a lot of artists would have taken that time to make sure that the actual references were put down and written down. And actually, I would be interested in a course that is written around these media influences alongside the album. That, for me, I would take that class. I would pay money for that class. Energy is lost inside it. Every lesson bright as day.
It's very a powerful album, and I can see where Ina like means it to be a great thing to teach in college or syllabus, as you say. But like sonically, it's the title track just grabbed me. I don't even know where to place it. Like, it's a musically, it's an album just for me, feels like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Anjimile said in the notes that if Give or Taker was an album of prayers, The King is an album of curses. Mm-hmm. But he also said, you know, that, you know, at the end of the day, I might feel hopeless, but I don't feel alone. I did feel that tiny, tiny seed of hope that carries you through.
Anjimile is the singer. His breathtaking, I think, album out now is called The King. We still have a handful of other releases we want to highlight for the week, including the new one from James Blake. But first, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
In this country, some truths aren't self-evident. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as wide-ranging and real as the people who tell them, we celebrate the Black experience for all its soul and richness. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths, wherever you get podcasts.
It's New Music Friday from NPR. I'm Robin Hilton here with Ayanna Contreras, Serena Turos, and Tariq Moody. We're sharing our picks for the best albums out now on September 8th, including the latest from James Blake. It's called Playing Robots into Heaven. This is the song Big Hammer.
shift sharp like a bun freeze. All in the summer, but you can't contest, and all know he can deliver. If you run him out with a big hammer, in a walking on, we not surrender. When I buy a man, a boy, can you lose it? In a matter, try it, we not have a lot more than the one Jerry's. We not just a sound and we vice. Make a boy shiver, make a bun freeze. All in the summer, but you can't contest, and all know he can deliver. If you run him out with a big hammer, in a walking on, we not surrender. When I buy a man, a boy, can you lose it? In a matter, we have a lot more than the one Jerry's. We not just a sound and we vice. Make a boy shiver, make a bun freeze. And I know he can deliver. If you run him out with a big hammer in a walking hall, we not surrender. When I buy a man a boy, can you lose it? In a matter. Yeah, we not have a villa more than the one Jerry's. We are just a sound that we vice. Make a boy shiver, make a bum freeze. All in a summer money, we are contest. And I know he can deliver. If you run him out with a big hammer in a walking hall, we not surrender. When I buy a man a boy, can you lose it? In a matter.
James Blake, this album is basically a tribute to club music. And I've been thinking about club music. It's one of the few types of music, not really a genre, but say, that brings people together, like, spiritually and physically. You know, when you go to a club, you're sweating it out and like that. And so he really channeled through his early roots of club and electronic music. First half of the album is like, it's club music for people waiting in line to get in the club. And the second half is, you finally got into the club. And I feel like the last two songs, if you can hear me, and playing Robots into Heaven, is you crawling back to home drunk late at night, reflecting on the evening, and it kind of closes out the night.
Daddy, if you can hear me. I chased it all too far.
Yeah, it's interesting because I am most familiar with his 2019 album, Assume Form, which really, there was a big emphasis on melody and in collaborating with other vocalists. And here, kind of a theme of 2023 is this interest in man versus machine. And if we're living in the age of AI, like, how do we separate ourselves? Like, what makes us human? And I found this album to be a little bit cold, not in like a negative way, but almost that it's like a person on an abandoned spaceship. And I think thematically it's, you know, really grappling with the limits of human experience and, you know, what it means to come alive. So maybe that's the club element of like waiting for the drop, waiting for something that makes you feel human and feel alive.
Well, it's interesting, his previous album, when you talk about humans versus machines, his previous album, Wind Down, was an ambient record that came out last year. Didn't get a lot of attention, but he used an AI app to help make that album.
Dance music, club music, is basically machine-based music. It's kind of ironic to have used machines to get people together and dance and stuff. So James Blake knows how to humanize machines, I guess.
You know, why I was interested in this album is because I really liked Overgrown, Color of Anything, Assume Form. Like, those few albums for me were, like, really interesting. Just the way he, you know, manipulated his own voice and, you know, the melodic structures of it and the electronic elements that I don't think he ever really tethered too far away from. I think this one, I was grappling for a little bit more melody, and that's just my ear. It's not necessarily so much about what he was clearly trying to accomplish. I think, was he successful in trying to accomplish what he was trying to accomplish? Yes. Was it my jam? That remains to be seen. I think it deserves further listening.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you in that I've always loved his voice and, you know, I love Overgrown. You do get to hear him plenty on this record, like on a song called Fire the Editor.
He's trying to save me. Cause I let him
I take fault with that title.
You're done. Fire the editor. I think he means the editor in his mind that is on duty. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was surprised by how many extended instrumental breaks there are across this whole record. Like, I didn't immediately think dance album. But so much of this is largely instrumental and mm-hmm. very strange, very weird and dark. I love it. But if it is a dance album, then it's certainly the kind of club that I want to hang out at. All right, again, that's James Blake. Playing Robots into Heaven is his new album. There's also a new one out today from the jazz artist Yusuf Days. It's called Black Classical Music. This is the song Afro-Cubanism.
Probably best known to people that are sort of into this jazz music for his collaborations with Tom Misch and then his 2016 album, Black Focus, with Kamal Williams as Yusef Kamal. This particular album is, for me, it's really, really lovely. You're hearing him, he's a drummer, really, really stretch out into some spaces and places inspired by a trip to Senegal in 2015, and really kind of also his own heritage and sort of the spaces and places within London that he tends to gravitate towards. I love the fact that each track explores a different aspect of his background and his personal history and his connection to the music. A lot of features on there. One of the singles, Marching Band, features Masego.
I think I had a vision, not a vision, but a marching band.
I don't know how Masego is on everyone's album except Khaled's. Like, everybody's album he is on. The other thing I wanted to mention, when I talked to him, I asked him about the title. A lot of folks know the term black classical music. It's an older term, but musician Nicholas Payton, he turned this into the whole blogosphere thing some years ago, and it became quite controversial in jazz circles about whether that term should be the term for jazz, because jazz was considered initially a slur, which I think a lot of people don't realize. But Yusef, when I asked him about the title, what he said was, I feel like jazz is quite limiting at the end of the day. You've heard some tracks on this album, and it's not just jazz music, you know. And I think these boxes that we give in music, it just limits it. And for me, it's about freeing up on that. And even when I read what Miles Davis is saying and what Rashawn Roland Kirk was saying, they called it black classical music. It's classical, it's timeless, hasn't got a lifespan. If anything, it gets better with time.
Nina Simone actually had a quote, said jazz is a white term to define black people. My music is black classical music, and I was wondering, you answered my question, if you got it from Nina Simone. But I also feel like this is a African diasporic album. Like, it celebrates the diaspora Pan-Africanism of the culture through jazz. You hear, you know, the Latin influences, the Afro-Latin influences. You hear the jazz fusion, like in Birds of Paradise. It is a celebration of black culture through the lens of jazz, or, as you would say, black classical music.
Yeah, this album is an absolute feast. I mean, to your point, Ayana, and what Yusef told you about how this isn't just jazz, I think if you just put the record on, the opening and title cut, it signals that this is going to be a pretty straightforward jazz record.
¶¶
but it does not stay in that space for very long. There are also these moments that bring you back down to earth, like these homemade recordings that appear here and there across the record. Like just before we hear Chasing the Drum, there's a cut called Early Days. But one thing that really struck me towards the end was on the song Cowrie Charms. Mm-hmm. About 2 minutes into this cut, you get what sounds like, I guess, a yoga lesson.
The nice thing about lying down is your back is in contact with the floor and it draws your attention there. Most of you, we wouldn't know we had a back body. If you're in a healthy body and your back's fine, you will totally take your back for granted. It's only when you know.
Which is really interesting because the instructor is talking about how you get your body and your mind in alignment. And that felt like a perfect sort of summation of what this album sort of spiritually, in a way, is all about.
I mean, I do think it's a really stunning record that sticks with you even after a listen, which, I don't know, for me, that's actually high praise because I listen to so many things.
Yusuf Days, the drummer and composer, his new album is called Black Classical Music. So we are now hitting what is usually the busiest release time of the year once we hit September. So labels start dropping albums like there's no tomorrow. That means that there's way more great releases out today than we could ever fit on a single show. As always, if you look at the description of this episode in your podcast feed, you'll see a complete list of other notable releases out today. But before we wrap up, let's just take a minute to go around the room and mention some of our other favorites out today. Serena, we'll start with you.
My pick this week is from Rummy Madley Croft and her new album, Midair. Romy answers the supremely important question, which is, what if you are a shy, introverted, soft-spoken person, but so suffused with queer desire that you just had to make incandescent disco music about it? And as the title suggests, this is just like a weightless set of upbeat, playful dance music from, you know, the lead guitarist of the XX. And I really loved this one. Instant repeat.
Ayana.
Okay, so Private Recordings, August 1970 by Sylvester is a revelation in so many ways. If you're familiar with Sylvester, the disco queen, for lack of a better term, you might know that around 1970, as a young person, Sylvester moved to that hotbed of creation in San Francisco and was in a performance art troupe called the Cockettes. And it's beautiful. I've already pre-ordered the vinyl. I am 100% all in.
All right, Tariq.
My pick is Alison Russell's The Returner. Alison Russell is a four-time Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, poet, activist, and multi-instrumentalist. There's a central theme of groove, as she says. Groove is as heralds the self back into the body. Groove as it celebrates sensual and sexual and agency and flowering. Groove as an urgent call to action and political activism. And you definitely hear it on one of the singles, Stay Right Here, which is definitely one of my favorite tracks from that album.
So many releases out today that I could mention, including the Tinashe album, BB Angel, that was just announced last week. That's out now. But I have to mention that we have a new posthumous album today from one of my all-time favorite artists, Sparkle Horse. It's called Bird Machine. This is the project of Mark Linkous. He very sadly, tragically took his own life back in 2010. And at the time of his death, there were reports that he had an album that was ready to go. And, you know, I've always wondered what became of it. So his brother, Matt Linkous, he took over the estate and he discovered this album, you know, while going through everything. And it's finally here now. And it's important to note that this is a complete album as Mark Linkous made it. You know, these are not odds and ends or scraps of songs that, you know, his label pieced together or his family pieced together to try to make a record out of whatever he had left behind. I mentioned loving the dark and the strange and the weird. Sparkle Horse was the king of dark and weird, but also the gritty and the noisy and the warped and the sad and beautiful, all of those things all at the same time. And if any of those words, you know, make your ears perk up, please dig into the Sparkle Horse catalog. There's lots of stuff to discover. Or just start with this new album. I'm so grateful to finally have. You won't regret it. Again, it's called Bird Machine from Sparkle Horse. And that'll do it for this week's New Music Friday. My thanks to Ayana Contreras, Serena Turos, and Tariq Moody. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
All right, as I said, you can see a list of everything that we talked about and played, plus a whole bunch of other notable releases out now in the episode description. If you want to hear full versions of the songs, you'll find them in our expanded New Music Friday playlists. Search for those in Apple Music or Spotify. And if you want to keep up with the latest from NPR Music, Tiny Desks, reviews, features, playlists, and a whole bunch more, sign up for our newsletter. You'll find it at npr.org/musicnewsletter. And for NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. I hope you have a great weekend. Be well and treat yourself to lots of music.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.